This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about your article titled "Ricky Hendon, A Loud Act to Follow," that appears, at least online, in the Chicago Reader on March 11th, 2011. And this article talks about the resignation and succession of State Senator Ricky Hendon, who represents the 5th Senate District in the Illinois General Assembly. And can you guess what I have in my hand here?
A piece of paper.
Can you guess what's on the piece of paper?
A map. Where do you get these maps? You always have a map.
You know what it's a map of?
It's a map of your house.
No.
It's a map of the 5th Senatorial District of the state
Correct.
Of Illinois, which is a combination of the 10th and the 9th.
10th and the 9th what? Here's a little civics
legislative
lesson.
Districts. What they do for a senatorial district is they take two legislative districts, combine them, and that becomes a senatorial district. So every senatorial district has how many legislators in it?
Three.
Well, how many House of Representatives in it?
Two.
You are the man.
And can you explain, there's a continuing civics lesson here, why if, for example, the 5th Senate District contains the 9th and 10th House districts, why do we need two House representatives for each senator? Why can't we just have one?
Well, isn't there a lower house and an upper house? Isn't that sort of like a bedrock of our Constitution?
So it's an elitism.
Oh, the senator's an elitism? I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes, yes, Ricky Hendon, elite. By the way, what a curious looking, I mean, we always talk about wards, and I'll show it to our listeners. There you go. It looks like a bottle opener. What the heck? A hammer? I mean, you know.
It's roughly rectangular from, let's see, it's about Cicero Avenue on the west to around the Chicago River on the east, just past the Chicago River. And then the most notable part is it cuts out this area in the north that's between Damon and Grant. It's been excised out of there.
We don't want you!
Yeah. So there's some definite gerrymandering.
Some definite gerrymandering.
So let's talk about Ricky Hendon. Is there any reason why our listeners who don't live in this bottle opener should care about Ricky Hendon?
First of all, I always love writing about some of the more colorful characters in Chicago politics, because I think aside from my ranting and raving about the injustices, the inequities, and the stupidity of Chicago politics, I think there is something redeeming about the characters in terms of being entertaining or sometimes wise, or sometimes you can learn stuff from them. Okay, and Ricky Hendon definitely falls into that category. He's streetwise, he's entertaining, he's many times a truth teller, and he's an old-fashioned political democratic boss, for better or for worse, on all fronts.
So he's iconic.
Very good. Nice word. I am particularly appreciative of him on two fronts, and I allude to both of them in the article. One, 91, I think it was, where he stood up in the council and really ripped into Louis Gutierrez for trading his vote on an ancient issue, an affirmative action policy to Commonwealth Edison franchise agreement, for the mayor's endorsement to run for Congress. The issue of affirmative action and Commonwealth Edison and that franchise agreement has long passed, but I think what is relevant is how legislators make these decisions all the time, where essentially they betray their supposed anchored principles for their more immediate political needs. So I thank him for illuminating that point. And finally, his oration on the floor of the Senate, I believe was last December, on behalf of civil unions, where he just really, in my humble opinion, told it like it is, calling out the opposition for their unbelievable hypocrisy in opposing something as basic as allowing gays and lesbians to have a civil union. I don't know why he quit. It's uncertain, but you know, I appreciate his moment on the stage, and so just wanted to share that with my readers.
When you say moment on the stage, it actually is quite a long moment. One of the underlying sort of premises of your article, some might see, is this premise of what I guess I would call incumbency entitlement, the acceptance that if someone has held public office for a long time, then it's not only okay, but it's expected. How do you feel about that?
Not sure I understand it.
Well, what I'm asking is, all right, how long has this guy been in office? 17 years?
He was an alderman for a while.
But I mean, say the state
Senate. When did I say he got elected? 94, 95? Let's say, for the sake of this discussion, it's been 16 years.
So that's a pretty long time.
It's a hefty term.
And that's not unusual for, you know, not only Illinois, but if we look across the country.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're having this conversation about his value as a public servant, which you, I think, have elucidated. But underneath that is the fact that we sort of accept that these guys get in there and they sort of should be there.
I can make a compelling argument for, well, strike compelling. I can make an argument for a lot.
I'll decide what's compelling.
Yes, thank you, sir. For the reelection of Ricky Hendon, if I were a constituent in his district, there's two ways of looking at it. You could be the independent like myself. I'm not involved in any party. I'm above it all. Or you can be down in the nitty gritty like Ricky Hendon. And in the world of the nitty gritty, we have a spoil system. And it's patronage and it's power politics. And Ricky Hendon has made no secret of the fact that as long as that's the world he lives in, he wants something for his people. I could see that if I were a constituent, particularly a black constituent in the 5th Senatorial District, I would want Ricky Hendon down there looking
to bring home the bacon.
Bring home the bacon, even if it's just a tiny morsel of bacon when you think about all the bacon that's thrown around. What I have a harder time with are the folks pretend that they're independents when in fact are feeding out of the same trough.
So there's some hypocrisy in that attitude around attacking incumbents.
Yeah, there is some hypocrisy about attacking incumbents. And I think that the larger problem of incumbents, and Ricky Hennon's part of this, is how they put up with such systemic abuses over there, like the TIF program, for instance, which is one of my favorite topics, as you know, Dave. I mean, the TIFs are governed by state law, so he never said a peep about it. And there's so many abuses like that that happen in our government. But if you're part of the process, it's very difficult to speak out against them.
Speaking of process, let's continue our civics lesson. Mm-hmm. In the milieu that we now find ourselves with, Hendon resigning, this activates a process whereby, as you describe in the article, the committeemen of the wards in the 5th Senate District meet and get to vote on a successor. And each committeeman has a block of votes mm-hmm. that is based on previous elections. The largest block of votes is had by Alderman Sharon Dixon. Mm-hmm. So you describe that. That's the law.
Yes.
The committeemen are elected people. They're elected in primaries, but they are party officials.
They are party officials.
They're not
yes.
public servants.
That's correct.
That's sort of the government part of it. The politics part of it is something you touch on. You know, they're going to meet on
Monday, March 14th
and vote.
Yes, sir.
But in all likelihood, you imply the decision will probably already have been made before that.
That's a good likelihood, yeah.
So can you speculate a little bit about what's going on? You talk about who are some of the aspirants
yeah.
to this throne, but what's likely going to happen is someone's going to call up Sharon Dixon and say, look, if you throw your vote behind my guy, I got this for you.
There's horse trading, and I'm not privy to it because I'm not a committeeman and I'm not listening to their phone calls.
But is my example a good one?
Well, you're trading.
Like somebody calls up Dixon, who has the most votes, the committeeman with the most, holding the most votes, and someone says, look, I've got something you want.
In the case of Alderman Dixon, who's also the committeeman of the 24th Ward, what she wants is probably something she can't necessarily get. She's right now in the midst of an automatic runoff against the person she defeated in 07 to get office, and that man's name is Michael Chandler. So what she would like more than anything is to somehow or other win that runoff without having an election, and the fastest and most convenient way to do that is to have Michael Chandler selected to be state senator for the 5th Senatorial District, which would be a brilliant maneuver on her part. Not necessarily a good government move, but that's the difference between government and politics, if you will. I doubt she's going to get that because the seat is too valuable to other people just to merely give it to her for something that's relatively frivolous to the rest of them. Since she doesn't have enough weighted votes to determine who the state senator will be on her own, she's going to need allies to get those numbers. You know, Dave, when I do these stories, there's two purposes. One is just sort of the civics lesson, which is, okay, people, this is how your government works, you know, like according to the rules on the paper, which is you have a vacancy and these are the people who you probably never even heard of. You don't even know about their election. You'd be astounded to realize how ignorant people are about what a committeeman is and what he does, the difference between a committeeman and an alderman. It's something I have to continually, when I write one of these articles, explain. And then secondly, then there's the political end of it, which is, you know, the horse trading, what each committeeman in this case is looking for.
What do you think Dixon can be offered?
They don't need Dixon.
They got enough votes without her.
Yeah, she's, I forget what the number is. I believe, don't quote me on this, she's 24%. But I believe 24% is less than 76%, which is what the other people represent. So it could be, they could slate David Glowatz to fill the vacancy if they wanted to.
Don't I have to live in the district?
You do have to. Oh, you don't live in the fifth?
Let me see. There's this little piece sticking out up here. Well, on that note, because I hear the music playing in the background, we'll have to dismiss class for today. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Senator.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org to see the map of the 5th Senate District in Illinois. that Ben is holding up, which is accessible from the description to this particular interview, and check back for further interviews. Thanks for listening.